Scripture for tonight will be taken from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. And I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. That's Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. I just read Hebrews 11, verse 8.
Good evening. It's good to be with you this evening. I want to join in with Gary to welcome all those that are visiting this evening and make sure that you know that you are our honored guest. And if you have any questions, we ask that you would not leave here without those questions answered. Tonight I'd like to discuss one of the most famous characters in all the Bible. Someone who was mentioned of an Old Testament character, someone who was mentioned more times than any other character in the New Testament. A total of 74 times, Abraham is mentioned in the New Testament. So tonight we'll take a look at his life. We're going to break this lesson up into three different parts. First will be the folly of Abraham. Second will be taking a look at a couple examples of how he had tremendous faith in those situations that he was in. And thirdly, we're going to take a look at some of the characteristics that Abraham portrayed, and those that we should also portray in our lives as Christians. So who was Abraham? Abraham was the youngest son of Terah. Abraham lived and died at the age of 175. He was a pure descendant of Shem, who was the son of Noah. Abraham married his half-sister Sarah, which we read in Genesis chapter 20 and in verse 12. He chose Rebekah for Isaac, his son, who descended from both of Abraham's brothers, Nahor and Haran. We read that in Genesis 11:29 as well as 22:22. He was the father of all Israel, both from a physical standpoint as well as a spiritual standpoint. Over in Galatians chapter 3 and in verse 7, it reads, "Therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham." And then over in Romans chapter 4, verse 16, reads, "Therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all." Abraham is a great example for all of us. But he is just a human. He had his faults and his flaws just like every one of us. There is but one person who walked this earth that was perfect. That is, of course, Jesus. But even as great of a man as he was, he, like us, had his faults and his flaws. We read in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, that all men have fallen short of the glory of God. That includes the great patriarch Abraham. In fear for his life because of the beauty of Sarah, Abraham lied to both Pharaoh and Abimelech as to who she really was. In almost two exact instances, Abraham was weak in faith. We read this back in Genesis chapter 12. In Genesis chapter 12, at the beginning of the chapter, a very familiar chapter, this is where God promises Abraham, or Abram at the time, the three great promises. And right after he had moved out of his own home country, he travels down to Egypt. And we'll pick up in verse 10 of Genesis chapter 12, where it reads, "Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was severe in the land. And it came to pass, when he was close to entering Egypt, that he said to Sarai, his wife, 'Indeed I know that you are a woman of beautiful countenance. Therefore it would happen, when the Egyptians see you, that they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will let you live. Please say, you are my sister, that it may be well with me for your sake, and that I may live because of you. So it was when Abram came into Egypt that the Egyptians saw the woman, as she was very beautiful. The princes of Pharaoh also saw her and commended her to Pharaoh. And the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. He treated Abram well for her sake. He had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male and female servants, female donkeys, and camels. But the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this that you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister? I might have taken her as my wife. Now therefore, here is your wife. Take her and go your way. So Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. In an almost parallel situation over in Genesis chapter 20, we read of a near exact situation. Instead of Pharaoh, Abraham is in front of Abimelech. In Genesis chapter 20 and in verse 1, it reads, and Abraham journeyed from there to the south and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and stayed in Gerar. Now Abraham said to Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, indeed, you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, will you slay a righteous nation also? Did he not say to me, she is my sister? And she, even she herself, said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocence of my hands, I have done this. And God said to him in a dream, yes, I know that you did this in the integrity of your heart. For I also withheld you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. Now, therefore, restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet. And he will pray for you, and you shall live. But if you do not restore her, know that you shall surely die, you and all who are yours. So Abimelech rose early in the morning, called all his servants, and told all these things in their hearing. And the men were very much afraid. And Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, what have you done to us? How have I offended you that you have brought on me and my kingdom a great sin? You have done deeds to me that ought not to be done. Then Abimelech said to Abraham, what did you have in view that you have done this thing? And Abraham said, because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will kill me on account of my wife. But indeed she is surely my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. And it came to pass when God caused me to wander from my father's house that I said to her, this is your kindness that you should do for me in every place, everywhere we go, say of me, he is my brother. Then Abimelech took sheep, oxen, and male and female servants and gave them to Abraham, and he restored Sarah, his wife, to him. And Abimelech said, see, my land is before you. Dwell there where it pleases you. Then to Sarah he said, behold, I have given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Indeed, this vindicates you before all who are with you and before everybody. Thus she was rebuked. So Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his female servants. Then they bore children. For the Lord had closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Even with the great acts of faith that we can read of regarding Abraham, he still wavered in his faith towards God in certain situations. Abraham believed he would be put to death if he told Pharaoh and Abimelech that Sarah was his wife. Instead of believing that God would see him through these difficult situations, he deceived those around him, claiming that Sarah was merely his sister, thus saving his own life. Let us be mindful that regardless of how faithful and strong we might think we are, we can still stumble under certain situations. We have weaknesses just as Abraham had weaknesses. Over in the book of Proverbs, chapter 16, Proverbs 16, verse 18 reads, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Let us keep this in mind. Abraham had tremendous faith, is without doubt. On many occasions, he demonstrated this faith. I'd like to go over two specific examples of him demonstrating this faith so that we might be able to learn from this. The first one that we'll go over is back in Genesis chapter 12, where Abraham left his country to go to a place where God would show him. In verse 1 of Genesis chapter 12, it reads, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" Let us understand the magnitude of what God is asking Abraham to do here. God is asking him to leave everything that he knows and journey to an unknown foreign land based on faith. How does Abraham react to such a command? In verse 4, it reads, So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram departed without hesitation. If we were asked to do something similar, how would we respond to such a request? How would I react if God commanded me to quit my job, to quit school, and to pick up everything that I owned and start traveling west? I don't know my destination, but just start traveling to a destination that is unknown, but will rather be shown to me. This example of faith by Abram is foreshadowing of things to come in the New Testament. Recall how Jonah was a type of Christ as he spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish and then was spit out onto dry land after the third day. Just as Christ spent 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth before he was resurrected. Abram is a type in more than one way, but this is one of them. Did God not send Jesus to live as a man on earth, just as he sent Abram to a land that was shown to him? The significant difference is that the land that Abram was shown was an inheritance to his descendants only. The inheritance that we have prepared through Christ's death on the cross serves as an inheritance to everyone. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 reads, "In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will." And then finally in Romans chapter 8, verse 16, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." We have an inheritance, and we are joint heirs if we but obey Jesus. Abram never doubted God's wisdom in this situation. Many today doubt God on things such as baptism and the church. What we read about in the Bible stands as the truth and should not be doubted. as it is the inspired word of God. When we read passages like Acts 2:38, where we are to be baptized for the remission of sins, and then Acts 2:47, where it says that the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved, what does that teach us? Does it teach us that baptism is required or just an option? And how does one become part of the church, those that were being added, those that were being baptized? This is what we read in the Bible, and that is what we should believe. We should not doubt the inspired word of God, just like Abraham did not doubt the wisdom of God. One of the most famous situations that Abraham went through is Abraham's faith was confirmed through his willingness to sacrifice his son Isaac. Back in Genesis chapter 22, we read in verse 1, it says, "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham,' and he said, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell you.' So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, 'Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you.' So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, 'My father?' And he said, 'Here I am, my son.' Then he said, 'Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?' And Abraham said, 'My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering.' So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him and said, 'Abraham, Abraham.' So he said, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me.' Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behold, there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its thorns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, 'The Lord will provide,' as it is said to this day, 'In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided.'" How much faith did it take Abraham to be willing to do what God had commanded him on this occasion? To my knowledge, none of us can even relate to a situation like this, but nevertheless, try and put yourself in Abraham's shoes. Could you look into your child in the eye when they ask, "Where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And could you respond by saying that the Lord will provide? When our faith is tested, are we strong enough to stand up for Jesus and do what is right in God's sight? We know that God does not tempt us, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. That's James chapter 1, verse 13. But when the world is seemingly bearing down on you, are you able to overcome the temptations that are before you? Are you able to quench the fiery darts of the evil one? In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, it reads, "Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one." In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, we read that God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Abraham was able to overcome this test. Abraham undoubtedly had faith in God. This leads us into our final phase of the lesson, which is the characteristics, or certain characteristics, that made him a friend of God. And that is his faithfulness. Hebrews 11:1 defines faithfulness, or faith, as being the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Does this definition fit the lifestyle and actions displayed by Abraham? I would say that it most certainly does. Over in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17, it reads, "By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, 'And Isaac your seed shall be called,' concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense." Abraham trusted that God would keep his promise when he stated, "In Isaac your seed shall be called." That's Genesis chapter 21, verse 12, right before God commanded Abraham to offer his son as a sacrifice. We see this faith that Abraham had when he speaks to the two men that are accompanying them on this trip. When he speaks to them in chapter 22, verse 5, saying that the lad and me will return. Abraham knew that God would fulfill his promises that he had said to Isaac and to himself, saying that these promises would go through Isaac. So in some way, that was going to happen, regardless of what he had to do to fulfill God's commandment. There is much that we can learn from the faith that Abraham had, not only on this occasion, but throughout his life. Another characteristic that made Abraham a friend of God was that he was prompt. Abraham not only obeyed, but did so quickly and without hesitation. He did not question God when commanded to leave his home country and travel to an unknown land. He did not question God when commanded to offer his only begotten son Isaac as a burnt offering. Do we promptly do what God wills us to do without hesitation? Do we make excuses to avoid situations that we don't want to be a part of? Do we avoid certain commandments that we are given? Abraham did not. Abraham was devoted to God. He built altars to sacrifice and to worship God. We read of this in multiple occasions throughout the book of Genesis, the first being in Genesis chapter 12. Just as Abraham was getting started moving out of his home country, we read in verse 7 of Genesis chapter 12, "Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'To your descendants I will give this land.' And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him." In verse 8 he says, and he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord." In Genesis 13, verse 18, we read, "Then Abram moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth tree of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord." And, of course, in Genesis 22, verse 9, we read, "Then they came to a place of which God had told him. And Abram built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood." And in verse 13 we read, "Then Abram lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abram went and took the ram and offered it for a burnt offering instead of his son." Abraham was devoted to God, and that's characteristic of him sacrificing and worshiping God on these instances. How devoted are we to God? Are we devoted to worshiping Him each and every time that we assemble? Or do we make excuses to avoid certain worship services? Abraham was a peaceable individual. Abram removed himself from Lot to avoid further confrontation between their herdsmen. In chapter 13 of Genesis, we read in verse 6, "Now the land was not able to support them," that is, Abram and Lot, "that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. So Abram said to Lot, 'Please let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren.'" We read in Psalm 133, verse 1, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." This is what Abraham did on this occasion. Abram came up with a solution in order to keep the peace and unity between Lot and himself. We are to be of the same mindset as our brethren. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and in verse 10, we read, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." This same story puts out another characteristic that we ought to portray, and that is that Abram was unselfish. Abram gave Lot the first choice of the land. In verse 9 of chapter 13, we read, "Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. Or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left." Abram had full authority to take the land which he chose. He was the elder of them too. And yet, he did not do this. He did not, even though it was his right, he gave Lot the first choice. He portrayed a selfless nature on this situation. Do we portray this type of selflessness in our lives? In Luke chapter 6 and verse 35, it reads, "But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil." We know that the demonstration of love shows selflessness. We read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. And there is no better example of this than Christ. In 1 John chapter 3 and in verse 16, it reads, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." The final characteristic that I'd like to go over that Abraham portrayed throughout his life is that he was hospitable. There was an occasion in Genesis chapter 18 where he entertained three strangers that he was not expecting. In chapter 18, in verse 2 of Genesis, it reads, "So he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground and said, 'My Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And it will bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts. After that, you may pass by, inasmuch as you have come to your servant.' They said, 'Do as you have said.' So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, 'Quickly, make ready three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes.' And Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender and good calf, gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it. So he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree as they ate." Abraham went out of his way to provide for those unexpected strangers. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 12, or verse 2, It says, "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels," referring to Abraham in this scenario. Over in Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, verse 9. We have a list of characteristics and traits that are befitting of Christians. The heading of my Bible says, "Behave like a Christian." So we can imagine what type of traits these are. In verse 9 it says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality." It is a commandment by God that we are to be hospitable. And it was a characteristic that Abraham portrayed in this situation that he found before him. Being hospitable is part of being a Christian. In conclusion, Abraham was a man of great faith. Throughout his life, he obeyed God and was blessed by doing so. However, that didn't mean he was perfect. Abraham had his faults and flaws, just as every one of us do, but he didn't allow that to define him. Are we guilty of this? Do we ever think to ourselves that we aren't good enough for Jesus, or that we've done things that couldn't possibly be forgiven by the blood of Christ? Jesus' blood can cleanse you of any sin if you but repent and obey God. We have read and studied of multiple examples of the tremendous faith that was demonstrated by Abraham. Are you actively working on improving your faith to be able to withstand every temptation and faith-testing situation that falls in front of you? Let us glean from the example of Abraham to continually build our faith in God and to demonstrate the love, devotion, peaceable, and selfless attitudes that Christians ought to display. Are you in a right relationship with God right now? Have you put on Christ through the waters of baptism? There are simple steps to becoming a follower of Christ. One must first hear, as we read in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. You must believe that Christ is the Son of God, Hebrews 11:6. You must repent, Acts 17, verses 30 and 31. You must confess that Christ is the Son of God, Matthew 10:32. "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven." You must be baptized, as we read in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. You're baptized for the remission of sins. And you must finally live faithfully. Revelation 2:10 says, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." Our hope of salvation was bought at the ultimate price, the price of the blood of the Son of God. We owe Christ more than we can possibly ever give him, but we must at least give him our best. Have you been giving God your best? I would ask us all to examine ourselves and think about what Christ did for us, and then compare it to what you are doing for him. How does it compare? For God to be pleased with you, you must first be in that right relationship with him. You can do that by being baptized for the remission of sins. If you've already been baptized into Christ and have not been living the life that God expects of you, you need to correct that before it's too late. Whatever your need may be, we ask that you come to the front pew as we stand and sing.